We have a quorum, so we're ready to go. Welcome to the Veterans Affairs Committee. If you look through your folder, you'll see a list of procedures for the committee, and you may want to look that over sometime when you get a chance. And also, your minutes are in your packet. If you want to look those over for a second, then I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes. Motion. Okay, Representative Hosh moves to approve the minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Minutes approved. Okay. Today we have different service organizations here who are going to give short overviews of what they're about and what they do, and it looks like we'll start with... Well, is there somebody here to talk a little bit about Commander's Task Force to start with? Or? Welcome, Commissioner. If you want to give your name and who you represent for the record.
Thank you. My name is Clark Dyrud, Commissioner, Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. The Commander's Task Force was created in 1986 as a committee meeting, I guess, of the nine congressionally chartered service organizations that were really active at that time. The commanders, of course, are elected 1 year at a time, so the makeup of the Commander's Task Force changes every year. The main functions of the Commander's Task Force are twofold. Number one is to have communication back and forth among the service organizations, and to really keep an eye on and talk about the legislation of interest to veterans in the state of Minnesota. And so obviously they all have their organizations that they're involved with, but this is a way that the commanders can speak back and forth. So they meet as necessary. They don't have a, unlike the United Veterans Legislative Council that you'll be hearing from later, they don't have a scheduled meeting time or place. They meet as necessary. But it's a very powerful communication tool for the service organizations in the state of Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Okay, it's now Veterans of Foreign Wars.
Yes, sir. Chairman Conan, my name is Jim Hesselberg. I'm the State Adjutant and Quartermaster for the Department of Minnesota Veterans of Foreign Wars. I'd like to introduce to you our Claims Director, Tom Hansen, and our State Legislative Chairman, Al Lehrer. They'll overview their part of our organization, and I'll come back and finish up with the generality of our of what the VFW is about.
All right.
We have supplied you...
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. We have supplied you all with a packet and a at-a-glance sheet of what our organization is about. I do apologize. Our young state commander, who's 35 years old, had to make a living today, so he was unable to be here. With that, I'll give you Mr. Hansen.
Thank you, Jim. Committee members, Chairman Conan, good morning. I am employed by the VFW to represent veterans in front of the VA, and essentially that's obviously the main focus of the Veterans of Foreign Wars, is to provide whatever services our returning veterans and people on active duty need. We were congressionally chartered in 1899. We've been around for a number of years. We have also a number of programs that are administered by our organization other than Veterans Service, but Veterans Service is our main thrust, and I head up the office out at Fort Snelling to provide that representation to veterans. Essentially, the representation entails providing interviewing veterans and the initial application for entitlements. A lot of our business comes from the County Veteran Service Officers. We then, if the veteran files an application for disability benefits and designates the VFW as his representative, that's when the information comes to our office. We then provide that to the Department of Veterans Affairs or the VA, and provide as well whatever documentation or development is necessary to present the best claim possible to the VA. In the event that the Department of Veterans Affairs denies the benefit, most of our work is in the appeals area, and that's essentially what the deal is we're there because to help the veteran weed his way through the red tape of the bureaucracy, if you will, of the VA. Not that the VA is not doing their job to try and take care of the veterans, but obviously there's a need for representation in the appeals process, and that's essentially what our job there is. We also have a staff in Washington that presents cases to the Board of Veterans Appeals and as well provides representation in front of the Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims in the event that we can't resolve the issue at the VA regional office in St. Paul. So, in a nutshell, that's essentially what we do. It may sound or may appear this morning that all of these service organizations that are going to appear in front of you provide the same service, and essentially we do, but the reality of that is that we have a number of service organizations that provide representation at the regional office at Fort Snelling. And the reason for that is pretty basic, that if a veteran designates one of those service organizations as his representative, then obviously that's where the claim goes to. The thing is that each of the service organizations has opted to provide this representation. In the event that they did not, all the representatives would be employed by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and chances are their budget would be extremely higher than it is because the service organizations have taken it upon themselves to provide the representation through their own offices. So I don't know that I have anything further. We do as well provide representation to patients at the VA Medical Center. We have a VFW hospital representative at the VA Medical Center in Minneapolis to help veterans that come to that facility and have questions about their care, future appointments, whatever he is able to provide for them. So with that, I'll close and entertain any questions that you might have, or turn it back over to Jim or Al. Thank you.
Why don't you guys finish up, and then we'll take questions.
Okay.
Representative Coonan, members of the committee, my name is Al Lair. I reside at 910 Coriolene, St. Cloud, Minnesota. I've been a member of the legislative committee both on the national level and the state level for a number of years. My function primarily is to educate the veterans of our state as to many of the legislative issues that confronts the veterans in this state and other states around the country. Minnesota has an enviable record for the service that they provided for veterans in here in Minnesota. We're always extremely proud to go to the Hill in Washington, D.C. and express our appreciation for the service that's been provided. Our situation with the legislative issues that we are faced with in our state, there's a requirement that there's a cooperative effort on the part of the National Legislative Committee, which I serve on, in coordinating our activities with any matching federal dollars that come to the state for veterans' benefits. We're always very pleased to make our presentation to the Congress in March of every year. We are presented with many questions as how the money is used, particularly if we want to be specific, One is the funding that we receive here in Minnesota for the operation of our Minnesota veterans' homes. And other issues, the GI Bill that people are qualified for here in this state. We try to keep our membership apprised of all the activities within the organization that are directly related to legislative issues. It's always been my position that the only way we can get the support of people like you that serve in public office is to keep you apprised of what's going on out here and what the needs of veterans are. And I think we've done a pretty good job with that, even not only our organization, but others as well, and you'll hear from them later. But we are extremely proud to be a part of the organizational veteran structure in this state. And we are also proud to be able to work with the Minnesota legislature, both House and Senate, in any of the major issues that confront veterans in this state. That basically completes my comments. If you have any questions, I'd be sure willing to respond to those. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, we have quite a few service organizations here today, so time is an issue, but if members have a couple of quick questions, we could do those. Representative Hall.
Thank you. I just have a quick comment. I would like to greet my friend Al Lair. He's from the St. Cloud area. And Al was mayor there for 10 years, and I was honored to serve as his park and recreation director at that time. Al Lair also helped select our new veteran service officer in Stearns County and fought to keep it a standalone department, which is very important to the veterans. Also, when you're visiting St. Cloud, you will notice on the VA Memorial Grounds that you will see a building called the L. Lair Studio, which was funded in part by the state with actions from about 3 years ago or 2 years ago. Also, if you stop, you're not old enough to join me at the Whitney Senior Center, but you can, and L was one of the founders of the Whitney Senior Center, and there's a wing referring to L. Lair there. So greetings, L, and it's a pleasure seeing you today.
Thank you, Representative Hollis. Any other questions, comments? Okay, next up. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Next up, the American Legion. And while they're coming up, Representative Severson, if you could give a quick description of what the Military Action Group does. And I should clarify that Military Action Group is not part of the Commander's Task Force, but Representative Severson needs to leave. So.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And myself and Representative Hawes are heading up the Military Action Group, and we've had this kind of put together group for about 2 years now. And we kind of started out the group with some issues that dealt with some licensure issues. We saw a nursing shortage out in the horizon here. Actually, we were in it. And we said, you know, how is it that that we got nurses retiring off of active duty who are an eligible talent pool, and we can't get into the state of Minnesota? So we started looking at some licensure issues, which we're still looking at, trying to work at accreditation and some cross-licensures across state lines and across corporations. But it grew rapidly into kind of a three-perspective agenda, and one of those is for making sure that when our guys are coming back from the Gulf War on Terror, they're getting into higher education institutions, or that there's a transition into the civil side again, that we're meeting the needs that these, that are very real needs that these individuals have as they come back. The second one was in terms of people who are retiring off of active duty, again, going to the huge talent pool that's out there that is selecting from any of the 50 states to say, this is the place I want to make my second home, start my second career, and become part of the community. And so in that process, we kind of came to the conclusion that we need to make Minnesota a very friendly place, a veteran-friendly place, and in order to get their attention to say, hey, we want you to bring your skills and talents to this state, because if you take a look at it, the demographics and the legislative forum that we had at the beginning of this thing had a demographic report that said in 2012 to 2015, we're losing, I think it was about 46% of our workforce just in state assets. So there's a huge talent pool that's needed. And the answer on that slide was there's a there's a huge populace of immigrants that we need to tap into. Well, I'm telling you that the talent pool that's available through veterans, through retired veterans, far exceeds the quality of individual that we need to do to fill up those needs in the future here. So one of our motions or one of our initiatives here has been the governor has put forth the tax exempt status for military retired pay. And that goes a long way in trying to recruit those people back to Minnesota. Minnesota is one of the four states, and we'll get into this as we hear the bill in this committee, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate that. But there are several things that we can do to try and draw veterans back to the state. And the third is the for retired veterans or veterans who are currently in the state to try and meet the needs of those veterans through resources for the veterans home and some of those other needs. And I would defer to Representative Hawes. He's been sitting on the committee here, and I'd like for him to, if that's all right.
Representative Hawes. Just very shortly, one of the benefits of the committee is the fact that there's discussion and real essence of the issues that are brought forward, as well as prioritizing. So they're not just all over the board. They're well thought out. They're prioritized, and they will be coming to you both in incremented bills and eventually in an omnibus bill by the governor. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, gentleman from the American Legion.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Lyle Foltz, and I'm the state adjutant for the American Legion. I live in Apple Valley, Minnesota. This morning I'd like to introduce our state commander for the American Legion, John Cox from Montemedi, and our department service officer from St. Francis, Randy Tesdall. We'd like to start out with Mr. Tesdall giving a brief description of his duties as our department service officer for the American Legion.
All right. Welcome to the committee, gentlemen. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Randy Tesdall, Department Service Officer in the American Legion Department of Minnesota from St. Francis, Minnesota. My duties for the American Legion are to represent the American Legion on Veterans Affairs and Rehabilitation matters, or all matters in Veterans Benefits. I've officed at the regional offices at Fort Snelling, the Henry Whipple Building, where I work very closely with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and the claims process. And similar to the VFW, we also represent claimants, veterans, in their claims all the way to Washington, where we have offices of the VA and our commission there. We also have duties to the veterans hospitals, the VA medical centers, where I spend the majority of my day over at the VA Medical Center in Minneapolis, and we also have representation at the VA Medical Center to assist veterans in the St. Cloud VA office there at the medical center there. So in a nutshell, that's basically our duty as service officers for the organization. Myself and the assistant at the hospital in St. Cloud is to provide assistance to those there at the hospital and all veterans that are seeking assistance for veterans benefits throughout the entire state. Through our system of 500 posts, we're able to do that through referrals of those veterans all over the state of Minnesota that need assistance in veterans benefits. Any questions at this time?
Go ahead, gentlemen. I think we'll take questions when you're all finished.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to introduce our state commander for the American Legion, John Cox.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is John Cox. I'm the department commander for the American Legion of the State of Minnesota, and I reside in Montemedi, Minnesota. The American Legion is the largest congressional chartered veterans organization in the nation, with over 2.7 million members in the nation and over 106,000 in Minnesota, with 582 posts throughout the state of Minnesota. The Legion was founded by the Doughboys coming home from World War I. They wanted an association that would allow them to continue their comradeship while being able to serve their veterans and serve their country. Minnesota played a key role in the founding of the organization, as Minnesota was the site of the first convention in 1919. The Legion adopted its constitution and set its course for the future at that convention. The Legion has never stopped fighting for veterans' rights, and during World War II, a former American Legion National Commander penned the piece of work in the Washington hotel room that has been called the greatest legislation in the 20th century. excuse me, it was called the GI Bill, and its home buying and educational benefits changed the face of America forever. The American Legion has used its great man and woman power to create many programs that benefit our youth and our communities. Our Boys State and Girls State programs teach almost 1,000 high schoolers each year in Minnesota about democracy, and while giving them a hands-on experience in creating a representative government. The oratorical contest allows students to sharpen their forensic skills while learning more about our Constitution of the United States and the state of Minnesota. The baseball program in Minnesota provides a disciplined and fun experience for over 6,000 ballplayers in Minnesota. 54% of last year's major league ballplayers were graduates of the American Legion baseball program. Minnesota also has another program unique to the nation, which provides safety patrol training for over 1,400 grade school children each year. Legionville, near Brainerd, Minnesota, operates in cooperation with the Minnesota State Patrol to provide training and fun for our state's young people. This past year, a young girl saved her grandmother's life by using the Heimlich maneuver, a procedure she learned this past summer at Legionville. The Minnesota American Legion also is heavily involved in scouting, and its posts provide hundreds of scholarships each year. The post home is often center of Minnesota's communities, providing a venue for weddings, neighborhood meetings, patriotic celebrations, and shelter in times of crisis. The American Legion Child Welfare Fund recently awarded $611,381 to 21 nonprofit organizations in Minnesota. Family and Children's Service of Minneapolis was awarded $36,000 for its project Children in Change and Seeing Red, tools for helping our nation's children manage strong emotions. The University of Minnesota was awarded $16,200 for its project Teen Walk, a survival guide for parents of teenagers. And during these times, the Legion is a key player in the family support networks and the reintegration programs that work to take care of our soldiers overseas and their families at home. Our commitment to these newest veterans and their families is unwavering. Dozens of active duty units, National Guard armies and reserve centers have been adopted by Legion posts across the state and provide troop support. Our full-time American Legion veteran service officer works at the discretion of the Veterans Affairs and Rehabilitation Committee to provide outreach to all veterans in Minnesota. Brain science research. $1 million was raised by the American Legion family in Minnesota. This program is in collaboration among the American Legion, the Minneapolis Veterans Administration Hospital, and the University of Minnesota. Heart research. $1 million was raised by the American Legion family to fund a program that was instrumental in making heart transplants and other procedures routine today. This is also a collaborative effort between the American Legion, the Minneapolis Veterans Hospital, and the University of Minnesota. American Legion Pheasant Fund provides pheasant dinners to all veterans in our VA medical centers and all 5 Minnesota veterans homes. Any excess revenue is used to support the infrastructure in these institutions. The American Legion has lived up to the great dreams those doughboys had in 1919. Its members are still serving America, still providing that volunteer spirit that glues America together, and still looking out for our comrades. The American Legion is deeply concerned about the future of America and of Minnesota, and we act on that concern throughout our programs, our resources, and our deep-seated love of our country. when you stop to consider of all these positive things we do, there is no other organization that can come close to matching our record. We can be proud of our heritage. Founded in 1919 by veterans of World War I, the principles of our organization are relevant today as they were then. Thank you, Chairman, for the time that let us tell you what the American Legion does in the state of Minnesota.
Sure, and thank you, Mr.
Any questions?
Any questions, committee members? Representative Detmer?
Mr. Chairman, and I, as a member of American Legion Post 225 in Forest Lake, I know how much the Legion does, American Legion does in Forest Lake for our youth programs, and it's just an outstanding organization. So thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Pinglesbeth?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Cox, thank you for your thorough presentation. Sometimes I forget about all the different programs that your organization does and just the impact that you have in the communities. Thanks. I just want to make a quick comment with the Boys State and Girls State. I mean, that is just an awesome program, and actually I've been a speaker at Girls State for the last several years, but I'd really encourage you to do more outreach to legislators, because I'm sure you would get a lot more legislators to actually present and participate. And, I mean, the caliber of those students is just amazing, and they are so excited, and I think a lot of future legislators in that group. So, you know, especially our committee here, I bet you'd find a lot of speakers at your Boys State and Girls State.
Well, we were at St. Olaf's College, madam, for a number of years, and then we went to St. John's, and I think we're up there about 5 or 6 years. And this will be our first year at Southwest College in Marshall. Their cooperation has just been outstanding. And we are looking forward to our director, and Marty Seifert, Representative Seifert, is also one of our counselors. Mm-hmm. And I happen to be a counselor there also. We are always looking for speakers, and I'll sure pass that on to our director, Mike Brady.
Great, thank you.
Representative Pingles,
thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Cox, you mentioned about the facilities in the community really being the center of the community, and I really appreciate that. You know, one of the big items that we're talking about here at the legislature this year is the statewide smoking ban. And I'm just wondering if your organization has taken any official view on that, or kind of what the situation is from your point of view.
Mr. Chair, Representative Tinglestead, if I may, the American Legion is a veteran service organization, and smoking is really not a veteran's issue. It's an individual issue, so the American Legion does not take a position on smoking.
Mm-hmm. Representative Walsh-Lug.
Chair, members, I'm in the Cannon Falls, Red Wing, Lake City, Waukesha area, and the number one group that I'm hearing from, because I do go to the meat raffle on Friday nights to support your group. By far, the number one group that's talking to me about this smoking ban are the veterans. So, you know, while I appreciate that you don't have a position on it, I'm really torn on this issue. And I need some help. I don't know how else to say it. I'm a new legislator, and I'm on the Vets Affairs Division, and the last thing I want is to have the vets mad at me, you know, a month from now, because all I'm trying to do is help them. So,
Mr. Chair, Representative, we appreciate your interest and your involvement, and again, smoking is an individual issue, and I know a lot of veterans are very vocal about their feelings towards that. But as a position for the department and nationally, we do not take a position.
Representative Singleton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for Mr. Tesdall. You'd mentioned you work closely with the veterans' hospitals and working with the veterans to make sure they access those benefits, and I really appreciate that. I was talking to a business owner in my community last night, and one-third of her employees are veterans, and she's trying to make sure that they're able to access all their health care benefits. And obviously that's a big issue, especially for business owners, too, as they're looking to have, you know, good health care coverage. But what she had mentioned to me was that the veterans at her business were getting frustrated with trying to get the medical benefits at the Veterans Hospital. I'm wondering what your experience has been as far as the ease of accessing those benefits.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, my experience is that they have access, and it's the explanation of how to gain that open door to those benefits really is through the county veteran service officers.
Right.
And we're fortunate in Minnesota to have such a strong network of those individuals representing veterans out there in all our counties. I would certainly be interested in finding out, number one, the business,
sure,
obviously to praise them for hiring veterans to that level, that it shows as that they actually have a population there, and that's great. I applaud that employer for doing that. But I'd be interested in having an opportunity to speak with those veterans that may be having a hard time getting access and make sure that they connect with that county service officer in their region or their area so that they do have full access to those benefits.
Okay.
I hope that answers your question.
Thank you.
Like to know that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, and we'll take one last question from Representative Olson. We have 8 service organizations yet to present, so we need to keep the meeting moving. But Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And gentlemen and sir, forgive me that I don't know which one is which. If it's Mr. Bowles?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I know this isn't for our committee, the smoking ban, but the questions are very good, and I just want to offer a comment because I believe Mr. Foltz has framed the issue correctly, and I really appreciate the response, but it's something I think we need to take note of. The response that I hear, and forgive me, clarify if I'm incorrect, but they present to us the issue that smoking is an individual matter, but the issue that is before the body is whether or not we're going to eliminate the right for them to have smoking in their facility. And that's a whole different question, and that's the question we're considering. The question we should be considering is whether or not we're going to take away the right for people to smoke. And that's the correct response. I appreciate the honorable approach that they're taking, but I think the question we need to consider and ask the gentleman, if, and not at this time, but at some point in the future, is whether or not they're going to be okay with us taking away the right to allow their people to exercise using a legal substance on their private, their own facility.
Okay. We do need to keep moving, but I'm going to take one more question here. Representative Severson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just a comment. This, you know, as the lead on this, this is not the place that we're going to discuss the whole issue on the smoking ban. And so I'll just leave it at that. There will be plenty of discussion in the future. Everybody will have a voice. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir.
Next up is a military order of Purple Heart. Gentlemen, if you could give your names and your positions for the record.
Chairman, committee members, I'm Clayton Ehrman, Department Commander of the Military Order of the Purple Heart. I have with me my adjutant, Bob Connors, and our National Service Officer, David Schruck, who is officed at the Whipple Building or at Fort Snelling.
Welcome to the committee. And
I want to turn over this period of time to the working part of our organization. Bob?
Thank you, Commander, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I am Bob Connor, Department Adjutant of the Military Order of the Purple Heart. And we want to thank you for the opportunity to come before you this morning and present a short introduction to our organization. The order to establish the first Purple Heart was issued by George Washington during the Revolutionary War. The award was revived in 1932 by President Hoover and General Douglas MacArthur. Today, as in the past, the unique bond that unites members of the order is that each of us has sustained a wound inflicted by an enemy in combat. There is no exclusion by war or branch of service. The members' common bond is that they have given of their own blood. Our current membership includes those wounded in World War II, the Korean conflict, Vietnam, Somalia, Desert Storm, Bosnia, Afghanistan, and Iraq. The order exists to serve not only combat wounded, but all veterans and their dependents. Our services are at no charge to the veteran. Our mission as a veteran service organization is to foster an environment of support and comradeship among combat wounded veterans, promote patriotism, support legislative initiatives, and most importantly, provide service to all veterans and their families. Our organization is grateful for the state funding provided to assist us in carrying out our service to veterans. We are extremely proud of the services provided by the hospital service officers we have located at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. Each weekday at our office in the Social Services Department of the VA Hospital, our members on duty see patients and assist them in their needs to file claims or other concerns for themselves and their families while they are hospitalized. We make sure that our hospitalized members are visited and also assist any other veteran that we have the capabilities to serve. In addition, we have a national service officer located at the Whipple Federal Building representing veterans in their application for federal benefits to which they are entitled. He has been successful in obtaining substantial monetary benefits for Minnesota veterans. Because we are the congressionally chartered organization for Purple Heart recipients, we get a large number of requests to assist veterans in obtaining the Purple Heart Medal. These requests many times result in the applicant receiving the award. However, the time and effort it takes does not directly impact the state with a monetary benefit increase, which can be immediately measured. However, a veteran that has been awarded the Purple Heart is given a higher priority to receive services in the VA healthcare system. Also, a veteran eligible for this honor should not be deprived of the actual award, and we gladly assist in this process. Our organization has a good working relationship with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and we are very proud that Commissioner Dyrud is a member of our organization. We also actively participate in the meetings of the Commander's Task Force and the United Veterans Legislative Council. We support the budget proposal of the Department of Veterans Affairs. Also, Commander Ehrman is a retired Army Warrant Officer and would be one of the veterans to benefit from the tax break for military retirement pay in the proposed budget. We look forward to a cooperative effort with the Department of Veterans Affairs and the County Veterans Service Officers in transitioning our Minnesota servicemen and women back into civilian life when they return from fulfilling their military duties. We thank your committee for the opportunity to come before you, and we'd be glad to answer any questions about who we are and what we do.
Okay, Representative Dominguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I only want to give some thanks to your department. I had a brother who was a double Purple Heart in the Vietnam War. He served in the Marine Corps, Staff Sergeant. He's now passed on, but he did receive some services through your department. I just want to give you thanks for supporting his efforts and keep the good work up. I just wanted to make a comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative.
Any other questions, members? Okay, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Chair.
Oh, excuse me. We do have Representative Hodge.
Really not a question just for the presenters, but for you, Mr. Chair, and for everybody. But with all the great service organizations here today presenting, I was wondering if we could have a handout of all the contact information for these organizations when we have to deal with constituents or our returning members coming from Iraq at this point. It would be great to have that resource.
Yeah, it looks like we can arrange that. Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. Okay, next up, American Ex-Prisoners of War.
Good morning. My name is Dick Carroll. I'm from Egan.
Welcome to the committee, Mr. Carroll. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chairman. I represent the American Ex-Prisoners of War, our organization is not quite as old, but it's as old as I am almost, because it started in World War II. Our organization is rather small, thankfully, because there weren't as many prisoners of war as there were veterans of wars. However, in the state of Minnesota, we currently have approximately 350 that are still alive. Most of us, of course, are from World War II. Approximately 150 widows that we're able to identify are still alive with us. They, too, require service in many cases. Our national legislation wisely finally arrived at giving us some presumptive diseases. At current time, we have 21, which includes such items as heart disease and strokes, because they had found that prisoners of war had died early from diseases such as those, and therefore they should be included in the presumptive diseases for consideration of disability compensation. For example, there is no records generally of medical care that was received by prisoners of war. After all, we were hospitalized with enemy countries and they weren't too concerned about records for prisoners of war. Thankfully, at least they gave us medical care with what they had. For example, I was a prisoner of war and started in near Budapest, Hungary, after bailing out of an aircraft, and after landing in the parachute, I was shot, so I'm also a member of the military order of the Purple Heart. And the hospital that I was spent 5 months in recovering from my wound has been all torn down, and there's now a shopping center there in Budapest. Naturally, there is no record of my 5 months of hospitalization that will give you an idea of what I'm talking about as far as why we have presumptive diseases. The problem, of course, is getting that information out to the former prisoners of war. And we have had three outreach programs since 1993 when the presumptive diseases started up. The first two were run by the state, or rather the VA employees of the regional office and the St. Cloud and Minneapolis Veterans Medical Centers. I worked with them to develop the number of prisoners of war by zip codes, and we set up seven locations to go to help get the word out about what the POWs are entitled to, both medical care and with disability compensation claims. And I happened to be a national service officer, so I assisted with the development of these claims. I serve also today, I'm the legislative officer for the organization. And our department commander, David Claypool, is a son of a prisoner of war. His dad, from near Bemidji, a little town of Poughkeepsie. His father died last October. He and I, for example, will be going up to Virginia tomorrow to close down the chapter that we have up there because of just a few members left that no longer can keep the chapter going. The wives are concerned from the standpoint that many of our prisoners of war are either drawing 100% disability or dying from service-connected disabilities, which makes the widow eligible for dependents indemnity compensation. So that needs to be constantly brought to the attention of the people. There is a reluctance on many of the prisoners of war to be identified as a prisoner or to file a claim with the government. There is a general reluctance. Most of us came back home and didn't want to talk about our experiences. In fact, I never talked with my wife until about the early 1990s when she finally found out my experiences. The only reason most of us had talked about our experiences because a psychiatrist at the Veterans Administration encouraged us to do so. Then there is also the widows are entitled to, if they opt to use it, to have medical care through CHAMP VA. And if the POW was a retired service man, then the wife would be eligible for TRICARE for life. The state, for example, there's two programs that the state has provided for prisoners of war. The first one is free license plates for prisoners of war. We only have to pay for the registration fee. The rest of the fee is provided by the state. Now, the widows of prisoners of war who have died can continue to retain those plates. However, they have to pay the standard rate for that license, plus the $10 extra fee for the special light license plate fee. Many of the registrars throughout the state really don't seem to understand that, and so we've had a number of calls. I've been dealing with the State License Bureau on this, and I have a good contact there, so we get these problems resolved. We also have a state highway designation, POW-MIA trail that starts at Elk River, Minnesota, and goes up Highway 169 onto Highway 18 to Brainerd. The reason for selection of that route was that, if you recall, there's a large number of prisoners of war from Brainerd that were called to active duty from the National Guard and were sent over to the Philippines and became prisoners of war under the Japanese for 3.5 years. So there's was a large number of prisoners of war from Brainerd originally. Many of them are dead now. They died early because of the severe treatment they received. And of course, there's a large number of POWs from the Twin Cities because of the population center. So if there are any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them.
Any questions? Representative Wardlaw.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Kerr, you said you're from Eagan, and as a fellow Eagan resident, I'm proud to first thank you for your service, and I'm really proud that Eagan has a resident as astute as yourself. Thank you for your service much. Again.
Just to bring you up to date, this afternoon at 2 o'clock, I go down to Northfield, a veteran who was only a veteran for 3 days. He was a member of the 82nd Airborne. He's stationed up in Alaska. He had made many, many, many jumps and had many severe injuries. They finally retired. After 15 years of service, he was discharged because of not being able to perform his duties any longer because of the physical ailments. and his widow with two teenage children have returned to Northfield, and this afternoon at 2 o'clock I'll be helping his widow file a claim for DIC and for burial benefits, etc.
Okay, any other questions, comments from members? All right, thank you, Mr. Carroll. Next up, Disabled American Veterans.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Stevenson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just a quick statement, I apologize. I have to go. I've got a meeting to go to. But I do want to just recognize all of our service organizations up here that, and they are single voice. It's been a grassroots movement being part of this MAG, and it's been incredibly an honor to have these people gather together around with a common voice. And that voice is really about taking care of our troops as they come back from war, and about making sure that their families are taken care of as well. And the MAG is really made up of, and I did neglect to put down some of the organizations, the UVLC, United Veterans Legislative Council, Commander's Task Force. We got the federal, VA is involved, the Department of Economic Employment and Economic Development, the MNSCU system, the U of M, the Military Officers Association, Retired Enlisted Association. We've got companies from the public sector that are interested in making sure that our troops are taken care of. Military Department, Veterans Administration, and as you saw, pretty much everybody who has been testifying here has been at our meeting at one point or another. And I just want to say that it really speaks to the dedication of these individuals to make sure that our troops are taken care of as they come back. And I do appreciate them being here, and I appreciate your having taken the time this morning, Mr. Chair, to hear from them.
Okay.
Thank you.
Representative Borden.
Mr. Chair, before Representative Severson takes off on us, that's kind of a Navy thing, you know. I used to watch the boats disappear over the horizon after they dropped us off. But I just want to thank Representative Severson for everything he's done. He's been the point man. I know a point man is kind of a misnomer for a sailor, but no. He's been the point man for the governor on all of his initiatives for the last 3 years, and I just want to thank you for everything you've done, because without your leadership and just pushing everything, we wouldn't be as far along as we are today as far as getting Minnesota to be a veteran-friendly state. So I just want to publicly thank you, and I also want to thank Representative Hawes for being such a bipartisan guy. You know, I'm just a leader of witness.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Tingleton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Severson's wife is in the room. Kathy Jo Severson, behind every good man is a good woman, and I know she's been a good partner in all this, so I think we should also thank the spouse, to Kathy Jo.
Okay, give your name and who you represent for the record, please.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, comrades. My name is Tim O'Connor, State Adjutant of Minnesota Disabled American Veterans, and I'm from Schaefer, Minnesota.
Welcome to the committee, Mr. O'Connor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll just give you a brief overview of our organization, and I did bring a couple handouts and some copies. Our state commander, Dan Hill from Virginia, Minnesota, was unable to attend this morning, so on behalf of Commander Hill and our organization, I'd like to just give you, first of all, our mission statement, which is building better lives for America's disabled veterans and their families. We have 34 chapters in the state of Minnesota, 33 which are active, one which is an at-large chapter, and each chapter has a unit made up of auxiliary members. One of our biggest programs is our Minnesota DAV outreach program. In addition to local community, DAV volunteers are active at the VA medical centers, the veterans homes, community-based outpatient clinics, VA contract nursing homes, adult daycare centers, and community hospice centers. DAV support is strong and committed at the veterans homes and the VA medical centers, as well as the CBOCs. Minnesota disabled veterans receive our help in all corners of our state, to include nursing homes, local hospitals, assisted living centers, senior citizen centers, disaster-stricken areas, as well as the deployed unit families, to include the 1st Brigade Combat Team, working with their family readiness group with the members that are currently deployed on current war on terror. Minnesota DAV, two of our major programs are National Service Office, which is based out of the federal building at Fort Snelling, which takes care of all the claims and benefits, as well as current new claims, existing claims, and sometimes going back and readjusting claims for our veterans. And our transportation program at the VAMC, St. Cloud and Minneapolis, provide numerous rides to and from the VAMC appointments for our veterans. At a glance, there are approximately 440,000 veterans in Minnesota. Minnesota DAV membership is almost 20,000 strong, and there are approximately 45,000 disabled veterans in Minnesota. In fiscal year 06, DAV representation before the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs resulted in over $64 million in new benefits to Minnesota veterans. Over 2,300 Minnesota veterans received new benefits, and over 1,900 veterans had their claims maintained, worth totaling about $29 million. And 1,000 veterans had claims increased through our Minnesota service officer representation, totaling about $12 million. In addition, 114 widows and families were awarded over $1.2 million in claims. The transportation network provided over 32,000 individual rides to VA medical appointments, comprising over 2.3 million miles traveled by volunteer drivers. And I want to stress the fact that they're volunteer drivers. Volunteer efforts by DAV chapters, county veteran service officers, and other veteran service organizations resulted in over 99,000 volunteer hours donated in the DAV transportation program. The Minnesota DAV is currently providing major funding for hospice rooms being built at the St. Cloud VAMC, four new ones, two of which are being funded currently by the DAV. Also, to provide the TV programming service to the entire Minneapolis VAMC. They also donated two new transportation vans to Minneapolis VAMC and St. Cloud in Minneapolis. The agency purpose of the DAV is to provide support, encouragement, and a better life for the noble men and women who became disabled while upholding world peace and freedom for the United States of America. The purpose and mission of the Disabled American Veterans is accomplished by representing the interests of disabled veterans, their families, their widowed spouses, and their orphans before Congress, the White House, the judicial branch, as well as the state and local government. Providing free professional service to veterans and their families and obtaining benefits and services earned through military service provided by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs and other agencies of government, extending the DAV's mission of hope into the communities where these veterans and their families live, through a network of the department and chapter outreach service programs, and providing a structure through which disabled veterans can express compassion for their fellow veterans through a variety of volunteer programs, including active participation in the reintegration events for returning veterans. In closing, I would just like to say that members of the committee, Mr. Chair, we all need your support in order for all of our organizations here to continue to serve all of our veterans from World War II to the current War on Terror. Thank you for your time.
All right. Any questions for Mr. O'Connor from members? All right. Thank you, Mr. O'Connor.
Thank you, sir.
Next group is Marine Corps League. There are, on my count here, at least five groups left to present. We have about a half hour, so I need to keep this moving. So keep that in mind. If you can give your name and who you represent for the record, please.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Xavier Daniel. I'm the legislative rep for the Marine Corps League. The Commandant of the Department of Minnesota Marine Corps League, John Moritz, was unable to attend today due to prior commitments, but he sends his greetings.
Welcome to the committee, Mr. Gagne.
The Marine Corps League in the state of Minnesota consists of 13 detachments scattered throughout the state. We do not have a post of our own, a building of our own, and we meet in various posts of the American Legion and the Veterans of Foreign Wars to their courtesy and hospitality, which we greatly appreciate. There are currently 13 detachments in the state of Minnesota. Among one, I am the commandant of the Viking Detachment Marine Corps League. The Marine Corps League is a nonprofit veterans association organized for Marines of all areas and rank. Its purposes are as relevant today as when organized by General John A. Lejeune in 1923 and chartered by Congress in 1937. The organization was organized to preserve the traditions and to promote the interests of the United States Marine Corps. To band those who are now serving in the United States Marine Corps with those who have been honorably discharged from that service, together in fellowship, that they may effectively promote the ideals of American freedom and democracy. To fit its members for the duties of citizenship and to encourage them to serve as ably as citizens as they have served the nation under arms. To hold sacred the history and memory of the men who have given their lives to the nation. To foster love for the principles which they have supported by blood and valor since the founding of the Republic. To maintain true allegiance to American institutions. To create a bond of comradeship between those in the service and those who have returned to civilian life. To aid voluntarily and to render assistance to all Marines and former Marines, as well as their spouses and dependents. To perpetuate the history of the United States Marine Corps, and by fitting acts to observe the anniversaries of historical occasions peculiar interest to the Marines. The Marine Corps League volunteers in many areas of the state. We currently have volunteers at the veterans organization at the Minneapolis International Airport. We volunteer at the Vets Hospital and at the veterans homes. We put on a picnic for the veterans at the homes, and also hold various functions such as bingo throughout the state. That would be the end of my... Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any questions or comments from members? Representative Olson.
Just very quickly, Mr. Chair, I'm just very refreshed to hear our country recognized as a republic again. Thank you, sir.
Representative Wardlow.
I was just going to say, simplify.
Okay, next group up is Jewish war veterans. Give your name and who you represent for the record.
The chair and committee members, my name is Sid Schmuckler. I live in Lilydale, Minnesota. One of the nice things about being next to last on this wonderful list is that I don't have to talk about all the things that everybody else has talked about. Our organization duplicates many of these things, and we also are members of the DAV, the Purple Hearts, the VFW American Legion. So, in other words, if I gave my speech where I just put back my pocket, it would take 20 minutes, and I'm going to save you the all that time. One of the things that we do, we help with the Armed Forces Center at the airport, which is very, very important because we greet them when they come back and we say goodbye to them when they go. And we tell them how much we appreciate what they're doing. We're not going to have what happened at the Vietnam veterans. We're going to treat them with respect and civility and let them know that we appreciate what they're doing. One of the things that we do that nobody else does on certain holidays like Christmas or Easter, the Jewish war veterans take over for 2 days so our Christian brethren can enjoy their holiday, which is a very unique situation as far as the our state of Minnesota is concerned. Many of our members, as I said before, are also very active in other organizations, and most of the things that we do are duplicated by the other organizations, so there's not much more that I can say, and I'm glad of the opportunity to be here today and talk to you people, because one of the most important things that we have to remember, what you do or don't do, you're sending a message overseas, and these people over there are listening. Send them a great message that when they come back, we're going to take care of them. Thank you, and any questions, I'd be very glad to answer them.
Questions or comments from members?
Thank you.
Mr. Detmer.
Mr. Chairman, I just like to thank what you do at the airport. I know my sons and I have utilized that facility many times. It's just so refreshing to have a place to come and relax before we fly out. Thank you.
You're truly welcome. The Armed Forces Center does a tremendous job. When the parents know that their son is coming, they come down the airport at the Armed Forces Center, and that's the meeting point that they pick them up. They're so happy, and we're glad to be able to take care of them. Our only problem is at the airport is that we have a weather problem, and we have several rooms there. We call them bunk rooms, where we can put up men and women, and sometimes we get awfully crowded when the weather's bad and the planes can't go out, and we have to keep them there overnight. But we not only take care of them, we feed them, and we make them comfortable and let them know how much we appreciate what they're doing.
Representative Tinglestad.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Gagnon, I really appreciate you being here and your comment about the message that we send as a legislature. I think that's really important, and I know we've seen that over the past couple of years, especially with technology available to the soldiers nowadays, in that even right after the meeting, they're hearing through email, through blogs, through legislative websites, and so it's almost immediate, our actions here, and we get responses and feedback, and so that is really important. I totally agree with you.
Well, there's a lot of other things that all of our organizations, all the veteran organizations do that we don't talk about. We don't talk about all the packages we send. We don't talk about all the other things that we do. And the only thing is we'd like to have a level playing field. We'd like to be treated like everybody else, and we don't like to be second-class citizens. Thank you.
Representative
Pagan. Real quick, I had to take the mute button off. Real quick, Mr. Chair. You brought up a point about respect and treating people well. I was upset this morning to find out, and I think it was last night, that while sitting on a plane, a bunch of our brave men in Afghanistan were sitting on a plane to come back here. Their families are already in New York waiting to welcome them, and they find out that they're going to be there until July. I think that's a horrible way to find out that you're going to be staying there. So, that they're going to hear this exactly, but my apologies, I guess, for that, because that's unfortunate that occurred that way, and they do deserve the respect and the dignity to have notice, you know, advance notice about stuff like that. So I'm glad you brought up the comments about respect for our troops and people coming back.
Mr. Schmutzer.
Well, only thing I can say in closing is that the job that the larger organizations like the VFW and the American Legion do, I'll tell you, if you wrote a book on all the things that they do, you'd be surprised. They're kind of the glue that holds things together, and one of the things that I've been interested in is the fact that our state taxes your retirement pay when you leave the military, and because of that, they're leaving. They're going to Wisconsin and Iowa and North and South Dakota, where they're not being taxed, and we're having what they call a brain drain. Now, in the service, the enlisted people are the ones that stay there. They put in their 20 or 22 or 24 years, and officers come and go, but but the enlistedmen always stay, and then they retire. And why should they stay here and be taxed when they can go to Iowa and Wisconsin, North and South Dakota, where they don't tax them? And the people that the big corporations like Minnesota Mining and others like to hire, they're gone. They have a brain drain. And it's a sad situation, and I think you should address that situation, look into it, and see what you can do to solve that so that we can keep them here. They make good, very, very good people to work with.
All right. Anything else from members? Representative Tinglesdale.
Well, Mr. Chair, to your comment about the taxing, that's our number one initiative this year, that we want to take away the taxing of our military. And so, you know, the governor's got it in his plan. That's Representative Haas's bill. We'll be hearing it soon. And we hear the message loud and clear, and we're going to work as hard as we can to get that passed this year. So thank you for your testimony on that.
Well, I'd like to thank the committee and all the legislatures, because I think that the time has come that we should all get together, regardless whether what side of the aisle you're on. These kids are over there. They're doing the best they can. Let's take care of them.
Thank you, Mr. Smuckler. Next up is AMVETS.
Good morning, Chairman Cullinan.
Give your name and who you represent for the record.
My name is Kelly Wynn. I'm the department adjutant for the AMVETS, and this is our past commander twice, Dick Volkert.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm sorry, Department Commander Gene DeGeer is unable to join us today, we'll keep ours short. And like Mr. Schmuckler said, we are another veterans organization, and for the most part, everyone's motto is veterans helping veterans, and that is what we do as well. The difference with AMVETS is we don't have to be in a foreign war. We did not get injured. Our eligibility includes our men and women who served actively and honorably since September 16, 1940, to the present time, to include National Guard and Merchant Marines. Although other state departments and our national AMVETS have an auxiliary in the Department of Minnesota, we do not have a Department of AMVETS auxiliary. There are a small handful of posts that actually do have auxiliaries. And AMVETS is now the only congressionally chartered veterans organization that honors and recognizes the sacrifice of peacetime veterans and service persons by extending membership eligibility to them. And we, like the others, do outreach to returning soldiers. And well, our soldiers are overseas. We are there to help the families here with backpacks for school in the fall, Christmas with the children, and we had a, you know, it's a state thing. We also help with junior ROTC through the schools throughout the state and the VA homes, as well. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Richard Volkert. I live in Mendota Heights, Minnesota. I represent past state commander for the AMVET organization. Also, very proud to be charter commander of the first AMVET Folsom State of Minnesota in Mendota. Mr. Chairman and members, yeah, I'm a state commander in 1988 and 89, and again in 2005 and 2006. I was a peacetime four-year Air Force veteran from 1956 to 1960. I was very proud to be elected the first charter commander of the AMVET Post Number 1 in Mendota, where we chartered on July 17, 1982. We are a very small organization compared to all the rest of these outstanding outfits, or organizations, not outfits, but We formed the Post Auxiliary. We're only a few AMVETS auxiliaries within the state as far as our AMVET organization is concerned. Not having our own headquarters or post homes, we chartered and hold our activities at the VFW in Mendota, where we meet the last Wednesday of every month. We also have a handout here. You will see it on the table. The back side of this flyer is the history of how the AMVET organization began, the national organization began in St. Louis. It's quite a history, the way it began. Our post homes hold their meetings at the other post, the other AMVET posts in the organization have their, do not have post homes, they hold their meetings within other VFWs and American Legions. Thank you, gentlemen, for allowing us to meet in your facilities. We do not have a perpetual type of income, so we have our white clovers, which we distribute every year on Veterans Day, usually with the Walmarts and the and Sam's Club and things like that. Have been very, very helpful for us. And whereas that these monies support our monthly activities at the AMC, Hastings Vets Home, Minneapolis Vets Home. We had a 6-year run on the Mississippi River in Inver Grove Heights, where we had a bar and restaurant for 6 years. They did not renew our lease when the last flood came through, so we've been living on a little bit of money that we've saved from that operation. We use some of it for a 1-year run on a pull tab operation with Axel Bonfire in Eagan, Minnesota, which we found out that some people, even though it's a very large place and holds a very large place that holds a lot of people, but they don't like to play pull tab, which cost us a great deal of money because although we kept up all of our lawful expenditures, the pull tab operation, which these gentlemen over here know about, is very highly taxed, and at the end of the year we had to take $22,000 out of our general fund and put it into our charitable gambling fund because we did not have enough money in our charitable gambling fund to pay the 50% into the communities as programs. Okay, so that's kind of the way it went with that. So we discontinued our pull tab operation, so we'll try something different. Our post one will be celebrating our 25th anniversary on July 21st of this year in Mendota. And everybody is certainly welcome. And this coming a week after a time of tradition of working in Mendota Heights and annual celebrations is the fine city of Mendota, which we will have our celebration will be the week after Mendota Day. Is that right, Kelly?
Our
end of 25th anniversary will be the week after Mendota Day. So stop in. Of course, the motto of AMVETS is the Veterans Helping Veterans, as all the other organizations, is what we expect, and our membership is for anyone who served honorably. And, of course, all veterans with an honorable discharge are eligible for the AMVET organization. So you fellas, Dick's got the membership with me. But you're all welcome to serve. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Any questions or comments for members? Representative Dominguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Are you also connected to, I understand there's Mexican-American AMVETS. Is your organization also connected to them? They're Post 5.
Yeah, they are in our department located in St. Paul, yes.
So, Post number 5 in South St. Paul.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you're connected.
Yes, they are within our department, yeah.
Actually, they have one of the very nice honor guard outfits that come through Mendota Days. You want to see these fellows look pretty sharp.
Just another comment. Are you also working with them? I know they're doing a fundraising for a monument, Mexican-American monument, over at the Sherrod Island. Are you also working with them to help secure some funding, or is it working together?
I think that is an individual post function or project?
Yeah, I've worked with the commander. Excuse me. I worked with the commander on that. They have blocks for sale. I mean, if you want to take out $100 and put your name on a block or something like that. But I don't know. I haven't heard too much about that in the last couple of years that are trying to put that
Is it a statue on the island? Is
yeah, they're making a monument, Mexican-American monument.
I don't know how that's turning out. I'm sorry. I don't know what, if that's still going forward or not.
Well,
them domains.
Thank you, Chair. Just to follow up on that, I met with them last Wednesday. What they're doing, and you might want to attend this, they're having a taco sale every Wednesday to raise money over at a bar called The Winners. It's on the west side of St. Paul, and that's how they're trying to secure monies to do this monument.
Oh, okay, time is an issue. If you,
I just want to comment on that. Thank you, Chair.
You can continue your discussion after the meeting, but
okay.
Time is.
No, thank you very much. And the last time we were there was 2 years ago. Our national commander was in town, so yeah, we support him and we help him.
Thank you, Mr.
Chair. Thank you. Yeah. Next up is United Veterans Legislative Council of Minnesota, and while they're coming up, I would like to mention that the Vietnam Veterans of America are also part of the commander's task force, but the commander was unable to be here today. So, all right, go give your name and who you represent for the record.
Yes, my name is Jerry Kaiser. I'm the chairman of the United Veterans Legislative Council. My vice chairman and also a member of the trio, which is the enlisted retirees, is Ralph Dunnis, and we're here together. We're both Vietnam veterans. I represent the Minnesota Vietnam Veterans Charity at the UVLC, and I've been elected now for the second term. I believe you've got handouts there that's going to be handed out. People are saying, like, UVLC, who are those guys? You know, it's kind of like the old movie show. The UVLC comprises of over 40 organizations. On that handout that you're getting there, there's 28 of them. And we meet monthly at the over at the VA hospital campus there at the auditorium in Building 23. And a number of your representatives have been there, Representative Tinglestad and Haas and Wardlow and also Dan Severson. We are, quite frankly, the point men in all the veterans issues that happen in the state of Minnesota. You can see all the organizations that belong to us. The only one who's not on there is the American Legion, and we work with them through the Commander's Task Force, and the reason why the American Legion can't be on there is that their bylaws say that they can't. But we consider them part of our organization, too, just because they're our brothers, and we work well together. Commander Cox is a great asset to us and the American Legion. Excuse me. We were started actually in 1965, and the first commissioner was Al Lohr. And we've been around a long time. And Al has been and still represents the VFW at the UVLC meetings. What I would like to say mostly that we appreciate the participation just recently we've had with the Minnesota congressional folks. Everyone who comes there finds out that how much information really comes out. Each one of the agencies, the Department of Veteran Affairs, the National Veteran Affairs, the hospitals, the Department of Economic Security, the commissioner and his competent staff, all the different organizations, the military affairs, the reserves, they all come and tell us what's going on, and then each one of us can gather the information. We meet monthly, and I would invite the chairman and any of the members that would could come on February 7th. We pack it up pretty good, and it's a great consortium of veterans and individuals that really support all the issues that we're doing. As you see there, we have supported and came out in full support of the veteran support program that the governor came out with, and of course every individual organization has their own legislation, but we like to work together. We all want to be in the same boat. And I know, Ralph, if you'd like to say some additional things, and we appreciate any questions that you might have.
My name is Ralph Denae. I live in Elk River, Minnesota. I've been assisting
Jerry is his first vice for last year and again this next year. And I'd just like to mention that when we start talking about veterans' issues, we ask some of the hard questions of the people that provide support for our veterans. We don't let them get off lightly at a lot of our meetings. We put them on the spot and say, okay, this is a problem. What is being done? And then we disseminate that information throughout the state. I personally send out about 110 emails after every meeting to different folks, different organizations from all over the state of Minnesota. So the word kind of spreads quickly as to what has been presented to us, who presented it, and so that information gets out pretty quick to the whole state.
We have a website now. It's called www.mnuvlc.org, and Ralph is totally responsible for putting that thing together. You can go on there and find out what we're doing. Actually, you can get the minutes. We just published the minutes again, and they'll be on there in the next day or so, so you find out what happened last month and where we're going. Entertain any questions that any gentlemen and members have.
Ladies, okay, a couple of quick questions or comments. Representative Wolfsauger.
Chair members, I had a Goodhue County veterans person, try hard not to say the name, but he called me right away, and perhaps it's because he did receive something from you, but he's concerned about our Minnesota version of the GI Bill not doing enough. I mean, is that something where, how do we work with that? I mean, do I work with him individually and then he gets back to your group, or?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, we work with it. Well, the MAG group is the one, and Representative Haas was involved with that. I was deeply involved with the MAG group, and I guess the best way would be talk to him first and what the concerns are, because I believe you're one of the champions of that particular bill. And, of course, that's the whole process. We've got to find out what's best for all the individuals and work out what so we can get the bill passed. That would be my suggestion.
Okay, any further questions? All right, thank you, Mr. Kaiser and Mr. Dene. The final group on the agenda, the Retired Enlisted Association.
Yes, sir.
Oh.
All right.
Good morning, Lieutenant. That's all together. All right, thank you.
For the record again, my name is Ralph Dene. I live in Elk River, Minnesota. I represent the Retired Enlisted Association, or with the acronym that we use, TREA. Our organization was founded in 1963 by two Air Force Master Sergeants who, having spent their career in the Air Force, realized that the statement that Congress made in 1956 said medical care may be furnished to retirees. And that was the beginning of the downfall of many of the promises that have been made to our military retirees over the year. Congress has elected to take away many of the benefits that were promised over the past years, and that is one of the goals of TREA, is to make sure that we don't lose any more of those benefits and to take care of the retirees as well as their families and their widows around the world, not just in the United States. We have members that live all over the world, so we're looking for the retirees and their wives and their dependents. I'd just like to point out a couple of things for myself. I joined the Marine Corps in 1964, retired in 1994 as the avionics chief for the Marine Corps. I worked at headquarters, Marine Corps. During my time, I moved 30 times in 28 years, as do many military people. We move all over the world. So we didn't really get to establish a lot as far as Minnesota was always my home those entire 30 years. We have a JROTC award that we present to the cadet at each JROTC in Minnesota as the outstanding cadet. It comes from TREA. It's a nice little medallion that's given, and an award suitable for framing is given with the person's name on it. And I personally try to go to each of those JROTC units to present that award. We also offer scholarships to high school students. We have a program that they can apply for our scholarships. We give out annually anywhere from a dozen to 20 scholarships a year across the United States.
if I were here to, if I had a hat for each one of these organizations that I belong to, I'd have to have one of those hats that has about 8 or 9 bills on it. I belong to the American Legion, the VFW, the DAV, the FRA, many of the organizations. And we're all here for the same reason today, to let you know that we all stand united in dealing with our veterans' issues in the state and in the nation. We are nationally chartered, as I said, and we stand shoulder to shoulder with the other nationally chartered organization in Washington, D.C. We have an office there that is staffed full-time, as do the other chartered organizations. So I thank you for your time today, and I'm sure that if I haven't already been at your office, I will be there sometime in the next week or so. Thank you for your time. Okay. Any questions?
Any questions or comments from members? Representative Wardle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One comment. And you can have, just walk into my office and have a cup of coffee anytime I'm not there. That's an invitation.
I've been doing it.
Would you quit spilling someone? But I just want to publicly thank all these organizations. I mean, you know, you've heard that expression, difficult task we do immediately, the impossible takes just a little longer. Well, that definitely applies to these folks. And whenever someone says, I need help on this, this boom, it's just amazing. And you might have noticed that, you know, I came to this meeting 10 minutes early, and these guys were already there. You know, it's kind of a military thing. When the old man calls a meeting, 10 minutes early is late, you know. But I just want to thank everything you've done. An example of what I saw was there's a couple bills for the Court of Honor, one for dogs and one for Medal of Honor recipients in Minnesota. And I was worried about, do I have to start drumming up money for these monuments? So I asked about it, and says, oh, no, we passed the word, and the money's there. We're just waiting now. So that's an example of what they do. And that's just a little thing that's not even, it pales in comparison to House File 29. So thank you.
Anything else, members? Thank you, Mr. Denise. And thanks to all the service organizations for coming here today. We appreciate that. Note to members, next week we'll be meeting in room 5 instead of this room. That's a change for just 1 week, and meeting adjourned.